show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
The start of the college basketball season is only 3 weeks away. It is quickly approaching, and the Big East poll is out, and the UConn men's basketball team was slotted to finish ninth in the conference by the league coaches. Big changes have certainly taken place. They have a new head coach in Kevin Ollie, who is working very hard to get the Huskies back to the forefront of the national scene. But right now, we are going to take time to reflect on their former head coach, Jim Calhoun, and how he made the University of Connecticut a basketball powerhouse and completely transformed the program. Joining us right now is Peter F. Burns Jr., who has a brand new book out, Shock the World, UConn Basketball in the Calhoun Era. Peter, welcome to our show for the first time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.
I know you are a proud alum. The Huskies are your team, and you have a deep connection with the program as you wrote this definitive biography of the Calhoun era and relived so many incredible memories, some that I had actually forgotten about. But what did you enjoy the most, Peter, chronicling and putting this book together?
I enjoyed trying to think about Jim Calhoun and how he put the program together and his intensity and desire. So I enjoyed following him. I really enjoyed talking to people about him, and obviously there were some experiences I had there which were very much a memory, going into NBA locker rooms, interviewing players like Kevin Ollie, interviewing Ray Allen, Rip Hamilton, Caron Butler. Those were fun things to do, to talk to people and kind of relive their memories too. But I was really into Calhoun when I wrote this book, and I feel like I captured at least his basketball sense fairly well in the book.
Well, it is remarkable when you look at his body of work and the product that he put out on the floor, the transformation that took place within the program during his tenure. I mean, you think back, you know, he was named head coach back in 86. His first season, they went 9-19. In 88, they were 20-14, but then they won their first national championship in 99 and, of course, their second in 2004. What was the key for him to make this turnaround? What was his key to success, Peter?
Well, I think there's a few things. The first is that he has incredible will, and you will have to try hard or die trying hard. He does not tolerate people not playing their best. So if you don't, he will have a midnight practice. He will correct his behavior immediately. You will get ridiculed, put on the bench. So Calhoun has a will, and he understands that his team has to play harder than the other team at all times. And so throughout his career, Calhoun instilled in them that they were going to work hard and be the toughest team. So that was the first thing. I mean, they were able to win three Big East games in his first year out of sheer will of Calhoun and coaching and hard work. And then the second thing was Calhoun started to recruit talent. So the first strategy that he used was to keep star players in Connecticut. So he kept Chris Smith in Connecticut. After the 1990 season, when UConn made it to the Elite Eight and almost beat Duke, and Christian Laettner beat them at the end, Tate George hit a shot in the Sweet 16, which is played all over and over again with 1 second to go. That allowed Calhoun to open up a national strategy and an international strategy. He had players from Israel. He had players from all over the country, like Kevin Ollie, Danielle Marshall, Donnie Marshall, Brian Fair, players from Arizona, all over the place. So once Calhoun showed that he could win, he got players, and then he got more players because he showed that he could produce top-quality NBA talent who could have long careers in the NBA, decade-and-a-half-long careers in the NBA.
Well, it is remarkable. You know, Jim Calhoun, he had overcome so many obstacles to build this program up, as you're talking about, keeping those players in-state, right there in Connecticut. I mean, where would you rank Jim Calhoun as far as, I mean, is he perhaps one of the best program builders of all time?
I say he's the best program builder of all time, and I also say that he's the best coach of his generation based upon winning three national championships. There's only been five guys to do that. And Jim Calhoun doesn't have the best talent every year. And by what I mean by the best talent is he doesn't have top 10 talent. He doesn't have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 McDonald's All-Americans on his team. I think he's only had about 8 or 9 McDonald's All-Americans total in 26 years at UConn. When they played Duke in the national semifinals and the finals, Duke had more McDonald's All-Americans on their team than UConn had in the entire Calhoun era. So that's why I think that Calhoun is really great. And Calhoun also, he had to fight other universities, but he also had to fight UConn. UConn didn't know how to run a big-time program. I'll give you an example. The UConn Husky was not trademarked until like 1986 or 87, which meant that you could basically go and print up a shirt with the UConn Husky on it and sell it without permission. They would go into negotiations with the local radio station and the local TV station on rights, and the local TV station and UConn didn't know whether UConn was paying the local TV station for the rights or the local TV station was paying UConn for the rights. So they didn't know how to run, they meaning UConn, didn't know how to run a top-flight program. They didn't know how to put the money behind it. They didn't know how to make it professional. And Calhoun came in and said, listen, we've got the cheapest uniforms. We stay at the cheapest hotels. And we keep the people who are closest to us the farthest away from the court. We've got to stop that. That's not what big-time programs do. And so he did those kinds of things, and he transformed the entire UConn athletic department.
He changed the culture. He changed the level of expectation. We are going one-on-one with Peter F. Burns, Jr., who has a brand new book out. I'm so excited. I love college basketball. It is titled Shock the World, UConn Basketball in the Calhoun Era. As a courtesy, we always like to extend to our guests that are promoting their books where they can direct the listeners to go and get a copy. Where do they need to go, Peter?
Anywhere online. You can pick it up anywhere online. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it online. Furthermore, you can get a Kindle version. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go to Facebook at shocktheworldbook.com and send shocktheworldbook at Facebook and send me an email, and I'd be happy to respond to you.
I thought it was great that you highlighted so many of the wonderful players that have been a part of his program, Caron Butler, Kevin Ollie, Ray Allen. Did you get a chance to talk to some of Jim Calhoun's colleagues and what their perception is of the program and what he built and what he was able to do throughout his time at the University of Connecticut?
Sure. I sure was. You know, anybody that I came into contact with, I would talk to them about college basketball, and I would talk to them about what Calhoun did. And Rick Pitino has said this before. He said he puts Jim Calhoun in, you know, the top echelon in terms of program building with what he did at UConn. He coached against Calhoun when Rick Pitino was at Boston U and Calhoun was at Northeastern. And so Rick Pitino really appreciates what Calhoun did. I think there are many other coaches who appreciate what Calhoun did. But I don't think he's fully appreciated. I think that the title of best program builder of all time doesn't quite reflect a person who was one of five who has three national championships. I mean, Adolph Rupp, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Calhoun, John Wooden, and Bobby Knight are the five guys with three national championships. That's a pretty special class when you think about it. You know, Dean Smith isn't in that class, and Dean Smith was obviously an elite coach. Roy Williams isn't in that class. Roy Williams is an elite coach. Tom Izzo has one national championship. So he's won a lot of national championships that other people haven't, and so I think you've got to give him even more respect as just flat-out a great coach as opposed to a program builder.
Peter F. Burns is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. As always, we love hearing from you at info@eradiosports.com. And I'm a big believer, a big follower, actually, in Rick Pitino. And I think it is interesting how he does talk about, you know, just the amazing job that Jim Calhoun has done. And, you know, he also puts in that class, you know, Jim Calipari and Jerry Tarkanian, the job and the body of work that they provided when, of course, John was at UMass and Tarkanian was at UNLV. Just, you know, that these are guys and individuals that did a very good job turning their programs around.
Oh, absolutely. And I talk about Tarkanian. The problem with John Calipari is that he didn't stay at UMass for long enough, but to take UMass to the Final Four is an incredible feat. An A-10 team takes them to the Final Four. Jerry Tarkanian built that UNLV program from nothing, but still, he won one national championship. He probably should have won two. The 92 team should have, or the 91 team should have won, but it didn't. But Calhoun, to have 25 consecutive winning seasons in the Big East is unheard of. When UConn didn't make the NCAA tournament or the NIT in 2007, I mean, it was a disaster in Connecticut. And before Calhoun got there, that would have been, you know, a decent season. I mean, UConn never won more than 24 games before Calhoun got there. I think he's won seven 30-win seasons, which is just unheard of. So, you know, people have been predicting the demise of UConn basketball for a long time. In 2011, they were picked 10th in the Big East, and they won the Big East tournament and won the national championship. And so, clearly, he has been at the top of his game for a long period of time. He didn't have a drop-off like some other people did.
Okay, I know some of the listeners, they're going to be like, Elissa, you have to ask Peter this, though. I mean, you name names like Jim Calhoun, John Calipari, and Jerry Tarkanian, and NC2A violations have been a part of each of those programs and those records. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, I wouldn't put Jim Calhoun in the same classification as John Calipari and Jerry Tarkanian in terms of NCAA violations.
Okay.
Jim Calhoun was suspended for 3 games because he had contact with a former manager who was an agent of a player that UConn eventually recruited. The NCAA did a full investigation, and that's all they could really find is that Calhoun had texted and talked for a brief period of time with one person to recruit one player. Do I think that UConn is completely out of control? No. I mean, they have 20 newspapers following them on a daily basis, so we would know more about that. They do not have a good graduation rate. Calhoun defends that by saying we have players like Caron Butler who don't graduate and have great NBA careers.
Right, right.
And they're suspended this year because they didn't get their academic progress scores up high enough, so they're going to be suspended for the entire year. So I think that for people to say that Calhoun is this, you know, infamous cheater and he cheated to get players and he has a black mark, I think that's well overblown, in my opinion. I mean, he was really only suspended for 3 games, 3 conference games, because of it. And if they had found anything bigger, they would have suspended him for even longer. So I would not put him in that classification, and I would need more evidence that he is this, you know, out-and-out cheater and in the same classification of guys like Jerry Tarkanian and John Calipari, who have been in trouble at several schools and, you know, have had to vacate seasons and championships and appearances in the Final Four. So I would say that Calhoun has that as part of his record, but I think it's overblown. Is that my bias? It could be, but I don't think so.
We are shining the spotlight on the brand-new book, Shock the World, UConn Basketball in the Calhoun Era. And I have to ask you, because you said you had the opportunity to go into NBA locker rooms and to talk to so many of his former players. What do they say about Coach Calhoun and having the opportunity to play with him? And how has that impacted their game as they have taken it to the next level?
Oh, tremendous question. They love Jim Calhoun. Now, they hated him when he was the coach. Do you understand that? They hated him because he would do things like make them practice at midnight. I mean, I'm going to tell you that Daniel Marshall was Calhoun's first McDonald's All-American. Calhoun wouldn't let that recruiting class, which consisted of Kevin Ollie, which was UConn's first big recruiting class, he wouldn't let them walk into the locker room on day one or give them practice gear. He gave them gray shorts and gray tank tops and said, you have to earn everything around here. You're not as good as you think you are. Danielle Marshall had been a star his entire life, and now he's got and he didn't have a dominant male figure in his family, and now he's got this guy screaming in his face, and after his sophomore year, he wanted to transfer. Well, Danielle Marshall had a spectacular junior year, was a NBA lottery pick, and he considers Calhoun to be his father. I can't get former players to say anything neutral about Jim Calhoun. They consider him to be a father figure. Danielle Marshall has said to me on several occasions, if you look at the way UConn players play, they all play the same way, which is they all play defense and they all play hard. You can tell a Calhoun-coached guy because he plays hard, he plays all the time. And if you look, Calhoun has had some spectacular NBA players over time, and he's had guys like Kevin Ollie, who had a great career, 13 years in the NBA after playing in the CBA and the USBL, and they all play hard. They all play hard, and I think that Calhoun is the type of guy who you don't appreciate him until A, you win, and B, you leave. And I think that, you know, players appreciate him. You mentioned Caron Butler before, played with the Mavs. Caron Butler, most people say, is their favorite UConn player. And most people who cover UConn say that Caron Butler is their favorite UConn player because, as one former beat writer told me, Caron is a man. And by that, he meant that Caron was very mature.
Yes.
Caron spent time in a juvenile detention facility. He was basically in prison at the age of 15. And when he got out, Caron said, I need to have a strong male influence in my life. So he had a strong male influence at Maine Central Institute. And he said, I got to have the toughest coach in college. Calhoun's the toughest coach. I'm going to go with Calhoun.
Calhoun coach players, I mean, they certainly are. They are taught to play the game of basketball a certain way, and they certainly play very, very tough. We're getting ready to wrap up our interview, but I got to ask you, what was it like as far as, you know, within the media? What was his relationship with him? Because, you know, when you watch him on camera, I've never interviewed Coach Calhoun before, but he's not that playful with the media. He's kind of got a little bit of a cold personality. Is that assessment right?
He does. He has a cold personality. You know, the beat writers would tell me that he would kind of have an initiation period with them. And at first, he was very kind of cold to them. People around Jim Calhoun say that he is a very private person in a very public job, and he's very guarded. It takes a long time to get to know him. Jim Calhoun is not your grandfatherly type like John Wooden. He's not amiable in front of the camera. But I think for the most part, he tried to be. I think Bobby Knight likes to play the villain. I don't think Jim Calhoun liked to play the villain, but he did because his personality was such that you could tweak him and get him going.
Just about another minute with Peter F. Burns Jr. this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. His brand new book is titled Shock the World, UConn Basketball in the Calhoun Era. And I have to ask you this, as a former women's basketball player at the University of Oklahoma, you always hear the rumors out there. And I have to ask you, what was the relationship like between Jim Calhoun and Geno Auriemma?
I think it's non-existent.
Why? They should have that camaraderie between the two and support each other's programs.
No, I have to tell you this. I really think, following it, that Calhoun has been more public about following Auriemma's program than Auriemma has about following Jim Calhoun's program. I mean, I remember one time Auriemma was on a show and they asked him who he wanted to win the NCAA tournament, and he said Kentucky because he liked Tubby Smith. Jim Calhoun always said, I'm a UConn basketball fan. He followed it, he knew the players, and he always said, if I had a daughter, I'd want her to play for Geno Auriemma. The former president of UConn said that there was a dynamic tension between the two. There's a generation gap there. Calhoun's a grandfather. Auriemma's a father. Their kids were doing different things. And I just think that they ran their kingdoms kind of separately.
Very well put. Well, listen, Peter, congratulations on the book. It is a fascinating read. And once again, it is titled Shock the World, UConn Basketball in the Calhoun Era. Always an open invitation, and perhaps we'll have you back on during the college basketball season when it gets underway. Okay, Peter?
I would love to do that, and, you know, someday I'd like to talk to you about your playing career and, you know, who were the best players you played with and against, and, I mean, that's got to be fascinating stuff.
Oh, gosh, you're going to date me. That goes back 20-some years ago, right?
It's all right.
Okay.
It goes back 20-something years for me, too.
Okay, very good. We'll talk to you soon, Peter. Take care.
All right. Thank you for the interview, Lisa. Thank you.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Brian Jones is going to be joining us with CBS Sports Network here in just a moment.